Please stand for the reading of the Gospel as we continue to listen to the Word of the Lord from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Peace and grace to you from our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a beautiful text, is it not? Powerful one, but a beautiful one. And I think we have a little bit of trouble understanding it, just slightly, because we are constantly interpreting it from our culture and from our experience. Our weddings are radically different than the time of the weddings, Jewish weddings of the time of Christ. As a matter of fact, most of the weddings that Jews have today are radically different than during the time of Christ. The Hasidics, the Orthodox Jews, have something close, but even they don't do it the way it was done during the time of Christ. And from the time of Christ, it goes all the way back to the time of David on how marriages were performed and how things worked. When the bridegroom came to claim his wife, there was no marriage ceremony. Number one, there was no marriage ceremony. That was the betrothal. The marriage ceremony was the betrothal. Remember, Mary and Joseph were betrothed? There was a ceremony. That's the public ceremony. It's the betrothal. It's actually the marriage. And in the Bible, what do we see once they're betrothed? They have all the responsibilities and obligations of marriage without any of the benefits. Why? Because they have to work to prepare a home. The bride has to prepare for the home with her mother and sisters. The groom has to work hard to either build his own home or to build in addition to his father's house. This is why Jesus says, "Truly I say unto you, I'm going to my father's house, and there I'm preparing a place for you." This is exactly what a betrothal for a groom would do. Okay, I'm going to come back. Now you do your job and I'll do my job, because when I come back, boom. There's no honeymoon. We go to work. We build a family. We start rolling up our sleeves and become active members of this community, building the house of Israel. Not much romance, lots of love. And so what's happening here is that the groom is coming to bring his wife. And here's what, this is exactly what happens. One, the groom comes and he picks up with all his friends. He picks up his bride and takes her to his home. And then he goes to bed with her. He takes her fully unto himself. And she opens all of herself to him. That's the marriage. That's the finality of the marriage. And this is why it's a beautiful motif for us in the Scriptures, because what does Jesus do? He takes us totally and completely to Himself, and we're totally embraced for all eternity in the love of God. Wow, isn't that awesome? Now, His friends, what is their job? You know, our American marriages are a disgrace. It's a disgrace. It's demonic. The bride and the groom, what do they do with the cake? So that's how you start a marriage, by respecting each other and giving each other dignity and holding each other, by humiliating each other in front of your entire family and friends? It's a farce. It's pagan. And what does the bride and the groom? Oh, well, we got to make everybody happy. We got to make sure everybody gets enough booze. We got to make sure the food's okay. We want everybody entertained. That's not how it works during the time of Jesus. The friends of the groom, by the way, who do you think the friends of the groom are? They're the angels. They're the angels that come with him. Remember, he comes with the angels, right? In the book of Revelation, when he turns with the angels. They're the angels. Their job is to entertain the bride, to bring joy to the bride, to serve the bride, to make everything comfortable and wonderful for her. This is a joyful time. Now, what about the friends of the bride? What are they to do? They are to serve the groom. They are to entertain the groom. They are to make sure that he's happy and wonderful. And this is a great occasion. They're not there to receive. They're there to give. Wow, that's radically different, isn't it? So the virgins in our story today, they're there to serve the groom. Now, I asked you when you were walking around and greeting each other, kind of keep, you know, an eye on what you were doing, and it took you even longer to get back into the pews. You know that old saying, herding cats? Notice we have 10 virgins, right? And by the way, why, let me explain this a little bit. Why virgins? Well, we can symbolically say that the virgins, all of them symbolize the church, by the way, the bride of Christ. But the reason why they're virgins, we can say, is because we have all been washed, cleansed in the blood of Christ Jesus. And you can say that, but the point behind it is much more profound, I think. In reality, married women, divorced women, widows were not allowed to be in a married party. They weren't allowed to be. Been there, done that. Virgins are the ones that are invited. Why? Because look, they're modeling. This is what you are to do. This is the woman of valor, you are to become. Do you have any idea? I know, as a pastor, you have any idea how many women get married in white today who should not be getting married in white?
Oh, this is my fifth marriage. Isn't this a beautiful white gown?
Huh? The reason why it's white is because you haven't been there before. And if we really stuck to this, how many marriages could we have where the bride could wear white? No, I mean the bride never laid with another man. How many white dresses would we have in our weddings? Very, very few is right. Do you see how far we've changed? And so these virgins are ones that they're looking forward to their marriage. They're looking forward to their relationship. They're looking forward to their day that they're the bride. Great celebration. It's wonderful. So they have two jobs. They have the first job of saying, hey, I want to be a bride someday, so I will make sure that I conduct myself in a proper manner. Amen. Second, I'm here to make this a joyful occasion and to serve the groom. That's my job. And we become a larger community. Well, as you were walking around and greeting each other in Christ, notice, how many times did you do this? Peace the Lord be with you. Hey, Ross, how's your car running? Hey, how's everything going? Hey, really? Hey, what are you having for dinner tonight? Hey, good to see you.
Hey, give me five.
It's called exchanging the peace of Christ. Not gossip, not news, not about your aches and pains, not about what you've done during the week. We have fellowship for that. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying that's wrong. It's a joyful occasion to greet your brothers and sisters in Christ. But notice what happens here is that we have 10 virgins. 10, remember like the 10 commandments? 10 strings of the musical instrument. 10 runs throughout the entire scriptures, old and new. And it's the number of human perfection. God's perfection is 7. 10 is human perfection. 10 commandments. So if you do all 10 commandments, you're perfect. None of us can do that, so we're not there. And out of these 10, notice how it's divided. 5 are wise, and 5 are unwise, right? And the Greek word literally is 5 are stupid. They don't put it in our text, but in the Greek it's much more stupid, just plain stupid. Now, why are they stupid? Because they did bring oil. First of all, we get this idea that, you know, that they're here with their candles at night waiting for the groom in the cold and in the dark. And that eventually the oil runs out for the stupid ones. The wise ones have brought extra oil. That's not what's happening. That's not a, read the text carefully, and that's not what's happening. What they're doing is they're going to a house that's close to where the groom is going to be coming. And they're all getting together, and they're all having a party, and they're all going, look at me, aren't I pretty? Look at, oh, look. Here, will you help me with this? Will you tie this? Oh, will you help me with my hair? You know, I mean, it's like a sleepover. Everything's doing just fine. The lamps were never lit in the first place. And as they're waiting in the home, and they're all excited, it's going on and on and on. And the groom hasn't shown up yet. And what happens? They all fall asleep. Look at your text. They all fall asleep. The wise and the stupid, they all fall asleep. And then finally, the groom is coming. He's here. He's here. Boom. They jump up and all of them start lighting their lamps. Well, the wise put oil in their lamp and the stupid go, oh, I forgot the oil. I forgot the oil. Why do they forget the oil? Because they violated the very foundation of what they were supposed to do. They were there to serve the groom, right? Well, who were they looking at? Themselves. These stupid ones were so busy looking at their own lives and themselves and being so active in what they thought was important that they forgot what was essential. Now, we cannot fully understand this text unless we understand the Bible. In Genesis, God separates the light from the dark on the first day, right? First act of creation, he separates the light from the dark. But he doesn't create the sun, the moon, and the stars until the fourth day. So that's not this light we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual light, aren't we? Not physical light, but spiritual light. Notice what happens in the book of Revelation. Will there be any sun, moon, and stars? No. What is the light that the children of God sees by? The answer is the glory of Jesus Christ. He is the light that radiates throughout the New Jerusalem. Amen. You know what the ninth plague was in Egypt? Ninth plague in Egypt was total darkness. And I'm not talking about a physical darkness. I'm talking about a deep spiritual darkness. Remember what Jesus says on Palm Sunday as he's going down from the Mount of Olives? You have eyes and you do not see. You have ears and you do not hear. For sin has darkened your mind. He used the word darkened. Sin has darkened your mind. There is a spiritual darkness in you that has blinded you to the glory of God in your midst. The ninth plague was absolute darkness, spiritual darkness. So blind that you can't see. You can't even probe. Absolute terror. That darkness is the darkness of hell itself. Because Christ is the light of the world. And without Christ, what do we have? Darkness. And what is sin but darkness? What is despair but darkness? What is fear but darkness? What is loss of faith and hope but darkness? When Christ came to bring light into the world. Amen. And on the ninth plague in Egypt, the only light was in the homes of the Jews in Goshen. Inside their home. That's where the light was. Why? Because where two or more are gathered, I am there, who are gathered in my name. Those who gather in my name have the light. Pharaoh does not honor the name of God. He is the Antichrist in the Old Testament, the Son of God, the false Son, who oppresses and enslaves the children of God. The only light is with His children. And so the women say, "Give us some of your oil." And the other wise virgins say, "No, we can't." And the reason is because when our Lord comes, we move from the kingdom of grace to the kingdom of glory. Gentlemen, you said it very well today, beautifully. God's patience will end. And it has to end because in the end, it's not grace that's going to reign, is it? It's going to be God's glory. Amen?
Amen?
And so the time of grace will end as it moves into the kingdom of glory and finality. Amen. The resurrection of the dead. The new heaven and the new earth. Russ, if you asked me, "Pastor, could I have some of your spirit?" I would have to say no. Mike, if I asked you, "Mike, could I have some of your spirit that God has given you?" You would have to say no. It's not yours to give in the first place. Right? It's a gift given to me. And God has given to me exactly what I need. Now, if you're an honest Christian, and not that I'm challenging you, but if you're an honest Christian, you're going to run into people that have more of the Holy Spirit than you do. And you're going to go, "Wow, I wish I had as much as you." And if you're an honest Christian, you're going to run into people that have a lot less of the Holy Spirit than you have. And you're going to go, "Wow, thank you, God, for all the gift you gave me." And that's because, guess what? The Holy Spirit comes to each of us individually and speaks to us, feeds us, nourishes us, and regenerates us differently because each of us is precious in the eyes of the Lord. We're not cookie cutters. We're not made out of assembly line. We're uniquely different. Amen? And there's no way we can exchange or give this to each other. I can pray for you and you can pray for me. We can pray with each other. But we cannot give the life of God to each other. That alone comes from God. His gift alone. This is where the church has failed again and again and again because the church proclaims, "We can give you salvation." No, we can't. We can proclaim it, but we cannot give it. And so these five go, "Give us your oil." And what is that oil? What is that light? It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. The vessel of the lamp is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The vessel of the lamp is Shepherd in the Pines Lutheran Church. The vessel of the lamp is our Catholic brothers, our Methodist brothers, our Presbyterian and the Foursquare. Wherever the gospel is preached, there is the vessel. But what's in the vessel is the Word of God. We are saved what? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the Word of God. So you can be a good Lutheran and find yourself in hell. You can be a great Catholic and find yourself in hell. You can be a great Methodist and find yourself in hell. You can be going to church every Sunday. You can be attending every Bible study. You can be doing everything just right. And the Lord will say to you, I know not who you are. Because you couldn't find your way to Him because you don't have the Word of God in you. Is the Holy Spirit in us? Yes. Then what has to also be in us? The Word of God. And I don't, you know, we see it over and over and over again. How many times do I ask, do you know this section of the Bible? Do you know that section of the Bible? No, I don't know that. Why would you not know that? Now that my children are not home and they have children of their own, I long to hold them. I long to play with them. I long to hear them cry for their bottles. I even long to change their diapers. I miss when they were little. I miss that relationship and that intimacy. Both Jackson and Jonah right now, got to see him last week, and they took me by the hand and they led me to their room, and they wanted to share their room with me, and they wanted to look at my toys, sit down and play with me, and it was great. Caleb now, he's 9 now, going on 13 already, and guess where I'm not invited? I'm not invited to this room anymore. It's now his room, and he doesn't want to share what's in his room anymore, because now he's beginning to separate himself from me and from his parents and taking on his own lamp. He doesn't want to share the light. How can you say you have the Holy Spirit in you if you don't have the Word of God? Oh, I have enough. Oh, one study a week is good enough. And you might say, well, yes, but I sit down with my wife or I sit at home and I study and I meditate. Oh, really? Well, were you potty trained all by yourself? Now, come on. Were you? Seriously, I'll challenge you. Did you learn to use the bathroom all by yourself? Yeah. Because if you did, you never would have learned. Never would have learned. Someone had to teach you. We need to teach each other. Where two or more are gathered, I am there. Right? So if we love the Lord, if the Holy Spirit is in us, we're going to want that oil of the Word of God. Yesterday, Bev's granddaughter, we had we had a confirmation class. And I'm moaning and groaning to myself in great pain because she was not prepared. And it was an uphill all the way. And she made a few statements that were not exactly kosher in any way, and we had to correct those and work with those. And I'm getting more and more worried, more and more concerned. And then I said, okay, last phase of this is we're going to talk about prayer. Could you please tell me what prayer is? And she gave me the most beautiful, profound answer that I have ever had. she blew me out of the water and I couldn't say anything. Is one of the few times I could not say a single word. I had to just shut up and say, thank you for the gift that you gave. And I never saw it coming. I was hoping for prayer as petition, as glory, as praise. You know, that's what I was looking for. And she goes, she came right from a beautiful point. She goes, remember, Jesus says this, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. Right? In Deuteronomy, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. Right? You know what her answer was when I said, tell me about prayer? She goes, to pray properly before the Lord, you pray to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you pray with all of your mind given to God, on all of your heart given to God, and you give your body to God to serve Him completely. And I'm going, oh, thank you. I have never heard it that succinctly put. That was a gift of the Holy Spirit that God gave me through her. In the same way that He works through the bread and wine, He worked through her. And I go, and at that moment, I praise God. I don't have to worry. God's doing a good job here. It's not me who's doing it. God is doing the good job. All right. That was the light. That's the light that's in the lamp. And so these virgins, when they come, they can't find their way to Christ. Now, what's interesting, go out and buy. Isn't that absurd? It's midnight. Where are they going to buy this? And the answer is, who's selling it? Who's selling it is Moses and the prophets. And the Holy Spirit is selling it. Remember, how many times does it say in Scripture to buy without cost? To buy without cost. Well, how do you buy something without paying for it? Well, you get off your rear end and you take your little feet and you go to where the Word of God is. If you were buying something at the store, what if we gave out today food vouchers and you could buy whatever you want for $200 over State or Brothers of Vons? It's all paid for, so it's without cost. Do you still have to buy it? Yes, you have to get up off of your you-know-whats and go over there and collect it, put it in a basket, and then bring it home. It's a little bit of work. And if you don't do the work, you're not doing the buying. So go and buy without cost. Go and buy. Go to Moses. Go to the prophets. Go to the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit feed you, give you the light that you may walk in. What do we say about Jesus? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This light that shines in the darkness that guides my way. It's free. It's abundant. It's all you want. But do you want it? See, the wise virgins were ready with the Word of God for the oil for their lamps because they wanted to be at the wedding feast. The other five virgins, they wanted to be there, not to serve, but to be glorified in themselves. Oh, aren't I beautiful? Aren't I wonderful? Maybe I'll find my future husband here. Who knows? Oh, let's have a party. And in them was darkness. And they were unprepared. Christ says this again and again and again. And he said it very well, our salvation is absolutely free, but we have to take hold of it, don't we? And we have to claim it for ourselves. We have to make it ours. And we have to do that every single day because Satan is trying to rip it away from us. The gospel is that the Word of God is free. The oil is free. The light is free. The law is that we need to respond to that because we want to be at the wedding feast. We want to be there. The patience of God will eventually come to an end, especially when we move from grace to glory. Will you know Him? Do you know His Word? Do you crave His Word? Do you feel that when you study and read the Word of God, that your soul is being reshaped and molded? And you're being made into the image of the Son Himself? Or is it only an academic exercise? Or is it something where you begin to open the Bible and you begin to fall asleep? They slept. These virgins slept too. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He is the Son of God? Do you believe that He has died as true man on the cross for us? And that He has risen and ascended and sits at the right hand of God? Do you believe that He's the living Word of God? Therefore, what is the best and quickest way of having the greatest relationship with our Savior? It's through His Word. Why would you not be in His Word every single day, if not every single hour of every day? You have to face the truth. Which virgins are you? Are you false Christians? Because you're carrying, oh, I got a nice little lamp here, and I look so pretty. Or do you have the oil to burn when the darkness comes? And everyone here, I've spoken to you, you know the darkness is coming. You know the darkness is coming. We feel it, don't we? It's becoming darker and darker all the time. The setting of the Son of Man's reign of sin and death in cooperation with Satan is coming to an end. And the light of the glory of God is coming. Are we ready? Amen.